Well, good morning, Ledge Rock Community Church. Good to be seen by all y'all out there. Welcome to another Sunday service, another message here at Ledge Rock. I'm glad that you have taken time out of your weekend to join us here. Thank you for doing that. And I'm just, I'm thankful for all of you during this time. I was just talking with Chris right before we went live and saying how over this we are and ready to get back together in person. Who knows? Boy, let's wait for June 1st and see what the governor says, and maybe we can, you know, get back together sooner rather than later. Know that I miss you guys, and boy, I'm ready to go back into the worship center and have regular worship. I need that and miss that. So anyway, hopefully you're having a good weekend, enjoying this finally arriving spring weather. It's nice to see the grass greening up. And Joe, anyway, hopefully you're enjoying yourselves and getting outside and getting some exercise and enjoying God's creation. Speaking of getting outside and enjoying God's creation, I was able to do exactly that yesterday. And so guess what I had for supper last night? Guess what I ate? If you guessed, a T-bone steak cooked over roaring charcoal to medium rare perfection, you're wrong. I had deep fried Northwoods walleye, fresh from the Boundary Waters. Was able to get out, caught some fish, had a great and enjoyable time, and filleted up some walleye and put them right into hot grease. Oh boy, delicious. So thank you for that invite and being able to go. It was amazing and had a wonderful supper. So loved it. Loved the outdoors. Planning on going even this afternoon for a little bit. So yeah, this is awesome. Life is good. Thankfully the ice is out and water's warming up, and fishing season is open. Here we go. So love that, love walleye fishing, love paddling, love the outdoors. I hate English. I hate English. I have never, ever liked or understood English as a subject. I think I speak fairly well. I understand like how to speak and create sentences. I'm usually, you know, intelligible, but I have never liked the subject of English. I guess I never grasped it as a youngster in elementary school. And so consequently, it never really clicked or registered. And I had possibly the worst teacher ever at sophomore year in high school. I mean, this guy, he was not good. Every year, bands of students and parents and even other faculty tried to get him removed from teaching. I mean, this guy was legitimately not good. And the problem with this man, he graded everybody's papers differently depending on how he liked you. How well, if you were a girl, you got a lot better grades than most guys, if you catch my drift. Anyway, this guy just, he wasn't good. It was so subjective. With English, there's not necessarily right or wrong. It's kind of subjective. Now, contrast English with math. I love math. It registers to me. I get it. One of the things I like about math is it is either right or wrong. 2 + 2 = 4. You put 4 down and you're right, or you put some other number down and you are wrong. I never quite got English. I really like and enjoy math and numbers. I appreciate right and wrong. I don't like subjective. I don't think anybody benefits when things are unclear or up to others. I think we as a society benefit when we understand black and white, crystal clear, right and wrong. Now, I'm in this series on recipes for remembering and results and all these different things we've gone over the last few weeks. And today we're going to begin a two-part series on relationships, a recipe for right relationships, because quite frankly, relationships are crucial. I mean, they're critical. all around us, we have relationships. Everywhere, even if you are single or sadly a widow or widower or whatever, your kids are moved, there's still relationships all over, all around us. And sadly, there are lots of wrong relationships out there. There's right ones and wrong ones. Lots are wrong. And all of us want right. We want right relationships. And there's lots and lots and lots of work and time and money and energy spent every year trying to fix relationships, trying to make wrong relationships right with very, very little success. Now, why is that? Why are relationships so hard? And why is it so difficult for us humans to fix our human relationships with each other, with others, and whatever? Why is that so difficult? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. That's the primary objective of today's message, is why it is that we have these wrong relationships and things just don't seem to go right and go well. And here's the truth. Here's the answer. At least the beginning of this answer is that there is one relationship to rule them all. Like Lord of the Rings, there's this one ring that rules them all. There's one relationship that rules all other relationships, and that is our created human beings, our relationship with the one true God of the universe. There is, in fact, one God that spoke everything into existence, all the earth, all the mountains, the stars, the galaxies, and planets. God spoke the plants into existence, and they bursted forth and created the streams and rivers, and he created the animals of the earth and thankfully the fish of the seas and the lakes and the boundary waters. God spoke all that into existence. He created everything. Anybody that would have enough faith to think that everything around us, all the rock in the Rocky Mountains, came from nothing, way more faith than I have. The point is that there's a God that created everything, including mankind. Mankind, Adam in the Garden of Eden, was the crowning jewel of all of God's creation. And God had an intimate, personal, close relationship with Adam. And then he saw that Adam would be even better with a helper, with a complement. And out of Adam, God created Eve. And he had man and woman. And God walked with and talked with and knew Adam and Eve intimately. And they knew God, their creator, intimately. There was a close and personal relationship there. And then in the Garden of Eden, along came the serpent, Lucifer, the fallen angel from heaven that wanted to be like God. And he was cast out of heaven and down to earth. And we don't understand exactly how he became the serpent or took over the serpent or what. We just know that the serpent was cunning. And we're gonna look at that here in a moment in Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. We'll look at this horrible story of exactly what happened that messed up and broke the most perfect and best relationship ever between man and God. This serpent disrupted everything. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles, find a copy there. Hopefully you've got one. If you don't and you use electronics like I do, find the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. I love the YouVersion app. It's free, and in it are virtually every translation out there. So after the message is over, find that YouVersion, download it on your phone or your tablet or whatever. And then again, find the CSB. I really like it for its readability and its accuracy as well. The book of Genesis is the very first book in the Bible. And we're going to be again in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. So allow me to read God's word to you. And the scriptures read, it says, "Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die. No, you will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Then he said, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man replied, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate. So the Lord God asked the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, I'm thankful for this day that you have brought forth and allowed us to get together to share in your word. And I thank you for the message you've given me, and I pray that you will prepare each of us to hear it, to dive into your word and this reality of our broken relationship with you. So Father, speak through me this day. Make it clear who you are and what you've done, and then how it is that we can be made right in your eyes. I pray all this in Jesus' holy and perfect name. Amen. All right, so today, this recipe that we're going to look at is a recipe to create a right relationship with God. The fact is, anyone can have a right relationship with God, the true God of the universe, if you follow this biblical recipe that I'm about to go through. The first point in today's message is that you absolutely have to have an honest evaluation of where you're at with God, a right or a wrong relationship. Now, there's lots and lots of confusion out there about whether or not we are in a right relationship with God, right or wrong. Lots of confusion everywhere. And there are scores of people throughout the ages that have been tricked and deceived into thinking that they maybe might, hopefully, maybe should be kind of in a maybe hopefully good enough relationship with God. There have been people that have been tricked and deceived throughout the ages. Right now, today, some of you watching this show have not had a deep, true understanding of what it's like to have an honest, right relationship with God. We've been told that we just need to be better. Churches in the past, and maybe some today, would be very good at boycotting places and trying to just simply raise the morality level of society, like there was this good, better, best mentality. And if you're bad, maybe you could just get a little bit better, and that's better. And I'm not going to argue like morality and morals. I think that's it's right, and we should stand up for what we think is wrong. But with God, it's absolutely black and white. You are either right or wrong in His eyes. There's no middle ground. There's no halfway. There's so much confusion about what it's like to have a right relationship with God. And many people have been told and even assume that if they just simply try to sin a little less, don't cuss as much, quit drinking or smoking or whatever, that suddenly they'll be a better person in God's eyes, and that maybe come death and judgment day, their good will outweigh their bad. And simply, that's not true. I believe that you and I, lots of us, are often guilty of thinking way too highly of ourselves and way too lowly of our God, the God of the universe. And here's the truth. It's easy to think that you're in a right relationship with God when actually you're in a wrong relationship with God. It's nearly impossible to think that you're in a wrong relationship with God when actually you're in a right relationship. Let me let that sink in for a moment, because that's very, very true. It's hard to hear, it's hard words, but man, is it true. It's easy to think that you're in a right relationship with God when you're actually in a wrong one. And it's nearly impossible to think that you're in a wrong relationship when actually you're in a right one. Now, Adam and Eve in the garden, there they took the fruit off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They listened to the lies of the serpent. They saw the fruit. It was beautiful and desirable. And they took it. God said, you can have anything you want. Everything was there. Utter, pure perfection. And they chose the one tree that they couldn't touch, couldn't look at, couldn't eat. And they did it. And when they did, their eyes were opened. They knew good and evil. Suddenly sin entered mankind. They knew they were naked. They were ashamed. And look at what they did. Look at what people in sin do. They hide from God. They run from God and they cover themselves up. And the last thing they want to do is talk with God. And then it breaks my heart to hear how Adam blamed God for giving him the woman, and the woman blamed the serpent. It was this blame game. Sin wrecked everything. Adam and Eve brought sin into all humanity. Let me read from Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. If you're taking notes, keep your pen handy, because I'm going to go through lots of scripture today. We're going to kind of bounce around as we explore this idea of a broken, wrong relationship with God and how to make it right. But look at what the prophet Isaiah said to God's people, but so clearly applies to us today. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, the scripture says, "But your iniquities are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not listen." Sin separates us from God, from a holy God. Sin has broken that relationship to where God is removed from us, or we are removed from God, I should say. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there are none righteous or right before God, no, not one." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The point is, everyone has sinned. Adam and Eve on down the line, every human being apart from Jesus, who was fully human and fully God at the same time, every normal born, natural born human has sinned. Now, we often grade sin and ourselves on a curve. We like to rank sin. We think that one sin is better than another sin, that child molestation is certainly the worst of all sins, and lying or gossiping is a whole lot better. We're guilty of grading sin and ourselves on a curve and comparing ourselves to others. We're guilty of thinking, well, I'm not as bad as that guy. Yeah, I might have sinned a little bit, but that other guy, Steve down the road there, he is so much worse. We're guilty of thinking that way when God is absolutely holy. God is perfect and just. God sees things quite differently than we do. Now, let's take a minute and look at the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments that everybody knows at least of the Ten Commandments. I don't know if we can all recite every single one of them. I had to stop and really think, and I finally got all ten. But the point is that the Ten Commandments were given to God's people to show that God desires perfection. And so let's take a second and look at where you and I stand. Let's help with this process of evaluating our relationship with God, because God clearly said, do this or don't do that. So one of the Ten Commandments is do not steal. And so take a moment and think in your life. Maybe it's back to when you were a kid, but have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you, even for a short time? But anything, a piece of gum, a toy from a neighbor kid, whatever it may be, have you ever taken anything? And if you answered yes to that, what does that make you? It makes you a thief. So what about lying? The Bible says, do not lie. Don't tell a lie. Have you ever told a lie? Anything that wasn't true? Well, if you're not saying yes, then you're lying right now. Everyone has lied. What does that make you? A liar. The Bible says that if you look upon a man or woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. What does that make you? An adulterer. The Bible says that not to use the name of the Lord God in vain. At some point, somewhere, all of us have not used God's name in a holy and righteous manner. That makes us a blasphemer. So by our own admission, we're lying, adultering, thieving, blasphemers at heart. And that's just four of the Ten Commandments. All of us have broken all of the Ten Commandments. We have broken every single one of them. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. By our own admission, we have sinned before God, broken His rules, broken His regulations, and the Scripture clearly teaches that all of us have done that and that the penalty for that is death. So each one of us have earned death, a wrong relationship with God that produces death, all through the result of sin that everyone has committed. Now, in this evaluation, this realization of where we're at in our relationship with God, all of eternity depends upon your honest, brutally honest evaluation. The fact is, we have a soul that's eternal, and everyone will live for forever in a place that is more glorious than we could ever imagine, or a place of judgment that is more brutal than we could ever imagine. We have to have an honest evaluation of where we're truly at with God. Right or wrong, there is no middle ground. Being good isn't good enough. You have to be absolutely perfect. And sin makes us so not perfect. The second ingredient in the recipe to have a right relationship with God is that then we have to know and realize what God did for us, who God is and what He's done for us. And this is so cool. This is so absolutely amazing. In Genesis, God killed an animal and He created skins and clothing for Adam and Eve. God took care of it. There was death that sin brought on. This is so amazingly cool for you and I here today, because Christianity could absolutely never be man-made. It goes so against our human nature. By nature, we want to earn things. We think that we can work hard and try hard and maybe make God happy. And Christianity is absolutely vastly different than that. It is absolutely couldn't ever be man-made, because no human would come up with such an unbelievable idea as the true heart of Christianity. All right, if you're taking notes, get ready. Romans 6:23. We just heard the beginning. It said, for the wages, the penalty for sin is death. But the Scripture doesn't stop there. It goes on and it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus said in John 14, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father or gets right in the relationship with the Father except through Him. Romans 5:8 says that God proved His love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, the most famous verse in all of Scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son that whoever would believe in Him, trust by faith in Him, shall not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, man, I love this one. It says, for He, talking about God, made Him, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Jesus. That's what happened on the cross, is God put all of our sins upon Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten Son. There on the cross, Jesus literally became sin, and God turned away that we might become right in God's eyes. Romans 10:13 says, anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If we in our heart cry out to God, we can be saved, we can be forgiven. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says that you are saved by grace, God's unmerited favor on your life, a free gift. By God's grace, you are saved through faith. Trust, pure trust in God and God alone, in Jesus and who He said He is and the work He did on the cross. By grace, you're saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast or brag about it. When you or I realize how wrong we were in our sin, breaking all of the commandments, sinning from the very beginning, from when we were born on, when we realize how wrong we were, and then we realize the majesty, the holiness, the utter perfection of the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the great I Am, the one true God that spoke everything into existence. When you and I realize how bad we were, how wrong we were, and we realize who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us there on the cross, it absolutely drives us to repentance. It drives us to repentance and pure, authentic worship. It absolutely changes everything. When you and I follow this recipe and evaluate our relationship and who we are and the brokenness, the wrongness before a holy and perfect God, and then we realize who God is and what God has done, it changes everything about our lives. It changes us from the inside out. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, anyone that is in Christ is a new creation. That old things pass away and behold, everything becomes new. What a beautiful example of what happens when a person follows this biblical recipe for a right relationship with God. Brand new from the inside out, realizing our wrong and realizing how good and right Jesus is and asking Him to come into our life, to forgive us of our sins, crying out to Him and repenting of our sins. It drives everything. It drives that repentance, that turning away of our sin in our lives. Sin ruined everything. Sin brought pain and problems and ultimately punishment onto the earth. Sin wrecked everything, and sadly, there's wrong relationships all around us. Broken, hurting people, and wrong relationships everywhere, all over. We all want right relationships. We all want to be right with each other, right with our families right with our neighbors and our coworkers and our bosses. We all want right relationships, lots of time and money and energy invested in trying to fix human relationships with very little success, nearly no success, at least lasting success. Next week, join us again, because next week's recipe is going to be for right relationships with each other. Right relationships with humans, with our husbands and wives. And join us next week for that recipe. But until you're right with God, no other relationship in your life will ever be right. At least not to the degree that it was designed to be. And I think that our relationships are so wrong for so long, we suddenly think that wrong is right, and we don't even understand what right is or what right might be. Until you get right with God, no other relationship in your life can or ever will be right. And here's the crazy cool thing about God, the amazing thing about Jesus, is that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how wrong you've been. It doesn't matter that you have broken every one of the commandments every day since you were a little kid. It doesn't matter how wrong you are and how wrong you've been and all the things that you've done. It doesn't matter. Jesus is far more interested in your tomorrow than he is in your yesterday. What Jesus wants is for you to come to him, to cry out to him, to beg to him to save you, to forgive you, to make your relationship with God the Father right again. And Jesus is waiting with open arms to do that for anyone. Anyone that will call upon his name. Anyone that will cry out to him and by faith receive God's grace in your life. Anybody. You have to take some time and evaluate where you're at with God. Is that you? Or have you been like so many others throughout the ages, tricked and duped and deceived into simply trying to be better? Thinking that if you go to church, maybe more often, if you give more in the offering plate, if you work hard and try hard, that maybe God will be happy with you, and maybe this broken relationship of a life and a world that you're living in, that maybe it will be better if you just simply try harder. Well, here's the truth. God knew that you couldn't ever do that on your own. God knew that you couldn't earn it. God's standards is absolute, total perfection. And so what God did in the midst of our sin and darkness and brokenness, he sent Jesus to come to earth, to be born of a virgin, to live an absolute, perfect, sinless life in our place, to fulfill and complete and accomplish all the law, all the prophecies. Everything was fulfilled and accomplished in Jesus and Jesus alone. And at exactly the right moment in history, Jesus willingly, lovingly went to the cross. And there on the cross, Jesus was nailed and gave his life for our sins. They took him off the cross and they buried him in a tomb, but the tomb was only borrowed because 3 days later, Jesus was resurrected back to life, defeating sin and death forever. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take some time as soon as we're done with this live stream, as soon as you're done watching this, I want you to take some time and very prayerfully consider where you're at with God. Where are you at in your relationship with the one true God, the Ancient of Days, the judge that is seated on the throne, that is right and just and will judge all of his creation according to his perfect standards? Where are you at in that relationship? Are you still in your sin? Are you in a wrong relationship with God? Because if you are, that's good news that you've come to that point of realizing that. Because unless you realize how wrong you are, you cannot cry out to the Lord. If you realize that you are in a broken, wrong relationship, you can simply call upon the name of Jesus, ask Him to save you and forgive you, to be your Lord and Savior, and then simply commit to following after Him, turning away from your sins and your old life, and allowing the Spirit to live inside you, to change you, and make you new, and then follow after Jesus with all your heart. That's all that's necessary. You don't have to be in this building. You don't have to be in my office. It doesn't have to actually happen, you and I. However, if that is you and you've come to that realization and you want to be right, I would love to hear about it. I would love to know about it. I'd love to help you along that journey and help you connect with some of our leaders that can also help you follow after Jesus. This is the biggest decision you can ever make in your life. And again, remember, if you want right relationships around you, they'll never be made right until you're right with God. So take some time. Commit to having a deep realization and evaluation of where you're at with God. And then simply celebrate the victory that we have available for all of us in Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you for taking time to follow along with us today, to worship with me today, to go through this sad story of what happened in the book of Genesis and how sin came onto the earth and ruined everything, and then how Jesus came onto the earth and saved everything. What an amazing story. What an amazing God. Join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for how amazing you are, for your goodness and greatness, for your grace and mercy. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for not leaving us in our sin, but coming to save us and separate us and set us apart for good works for you and your glory. And Lord, I pray that today for everyone that is listening now and in the future, that your Spirit would penetrate their hearts and open their eyes to the reality of where they're at with you. Lord, I pray that people, many people would have their eyes open and give their lives to you, and that you would save them and change them and make them new. So Lord, what an exciting time. What a great opportunity we have. Thank you for your word and for how clearly you've spelled out how great you are. So Lord, change us, make us new from the inside out, forgive us of our sins, and help us to march and move forward to advance your kingdom here on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Again, thank you for joining us, for being a part of this service. I'm so thankful for you, for your encouragement, for your comments. Please comment, connect, say amen, whatever it is, let me know. Call the church, email me, kurtebert@gmail.com. Email me, let me know that you've made a decision for Jesus, or maybe you have more questions. This is the most important thing you can ever do, the most important decision. Do not take it lightly. Let me know how I can help. And bottom line, may God richly bless you this week. Thanks again for joining us here at Ledge Rock Community Church. God bless and take care.